Welcome to Talking Baseball. We've got a very fun interview on this episode with Tim Melville, but first, let's dance a little. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Talking Baseball. We hope you had a fantastic weekend. We hope you're having a fantastic Monday and you find us in good spirits. We have a very fun interview for you today. My name is Jimmy. I have Trevor and Jake with me, as always, BBD in the corner. How are you two doing?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day out. I'm excited. I'm in such a good mood. A little feisty today, but I think it makes for some good talk.
There you go. Jake, got a visor on, looking great.
Good. NFL draft tonight. You know, James, that's one of my up there on my favorite sports events of the year. And we've got an interview coming for the people.
So we'll be quick because it's a long interview, but Tim Melville, last year, we found out that he was like in tune with our content, enjoyed some of it, bought a shirt from our store, wore it after everything. Jake had barbecue. You hear about that. This interview started off the rails, stayed off the rails, maybe got back on the rails for a second or two, and then quickly went back off. It was a lot of fun. Tim's awesome. It's hilarious. The connection was going in and out. We did like two different intros because we didn't know what worked and what didn't. Who knows what Zach, our editor, actually made this final product. But let's just throw it straight to the interview. Just wanted to give you a little warning.
Get ready, people.
It's a lot of food and hobbies and cats. And it's a lot. And it's a good time.
Six cats.
So here you go.
Barbaric.
We are joined by barbecue specialist, cat herder. I guess he throws a baseball, too. Rockies pitcher Tim Melville, my last first date, I think, as well. Tim, how you doing, dude?
Wow, thanks for the intro. I'm doing excellent. Some of that's true, some of it's not true.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's
you weren't
true?
My
last,
huh?
What's not true?
I don't believe I was your last first date, or was I? Is it true?
You and I had a very nice lunch date in Denver, Colorado a few months back, and I don't think I've had any other first dates since then, no.
How many first dates have you had since then, Tim?
He's out.
He's out. No.
I gotta say, Jake, I think he friend-zoned you. You don't take somebody on a date to lunch. You take a friend out to lunch.
It was a date.
Okay.
It was a date.
Maybe your guys' dynamic is different. Anyway, he left because he was sick of you calling it a date.
I think the cat herder is out.
He's got kind of got a good face saved on the screen right now. I know not everyone can
just
see
play it, but just pretend he's really quiet.
Yeah. Speak up, Tim. I don't know. This has been a wild ride from the start. If we do end up keeping this in here, it's been a wild start. Tim's got six cats by him. So maybe one of the cats jumped on his phone.
Maybe.
They all had Game of Thrones names besides a Merry and a Pippin in there.
No, most of them are Lord of the Rings. Jim, let's go.
Okay. Well, there
Two Game of Thrones, four Lord of the Rings. Okay. Frodo, Sam, Merry, Pippin. Those are all hobbits.
Oh,
I can
see,
just go on about Game or Lord of the Rings. I could just.
So, okay. I know Frodo, but I didn't know Sam and Pippin and Merry. Those are pretty common names. Lord of the Rings doesn't own those.
If you say them all together, it's a Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Like you know. When you bunch those names together, we're talking about the Shire. You know, we're talking about four friends set out on a quest to destroy evil once and for all. Two break off and have to go to Mordor. The other two have to go and fight their own battles.
Barbaric.
All right, let's run. We are rejoined by Tim Melville, pitcher for the Rockies. I claimed he was my last first date. He shot me down a little bit, and then the connection went out, so we're back here. Tim, what's going on, dude?
I'm great. Hanging out.
You want to tell
cats.
us who, Yeah, we did this before the show, but you're chilling with six cats right now.
Yeah, just, you know, the standard amount, six cats, and it's pretty relaxing.
Do you have a favorite of the six?
One of them's name's Frodo, and he's so relaxed. He's awesome. Actually, I think he's right here. Maybe I can bring him into the shot real quick. They're trying to eat my camera here. They're so adorable.
There's Frodo.
Do you? Oh wow! Right up and close.
Do you have luck on your quest?
Do you have a least favorite?
A least favorite? No, yeah. I love them all equally. I think it's hard to, you know, decide that when they're this young. They're just all sweet.
Eventually,
awesome
you have
kittens.
One. Where are you right now? Where are you quarantined?
So I'm in Phoenix. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm actually in the house I was in during spring training this year. Robert Stock has a place out here. Me and a few other baseball guys. His brother, Richard, plays independent ball for the New Jersey Jackals. And one of his teammates, Reese, also lives here as well. And my girlfriend's here. And then Robert's got his wife here. So it's like a full house of people. But we have, you know, maintained our sanity. And it's been a pretty smooth sailing quarantine so far. But Phoenix is going to get to like 100 degrees here soon. So who knows what's going to happen. It's going to get crazy hot here soon. But how are you guys doing? You guys doing great?
We're all right. Jake and I are in apartments in New York City, so there's not a lot of outside time at all, which blows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I keep thinking about people who are quarantined in their homes, like Trev, who has a backyard and can, like, go outside. And I'm like, God damn, that's huge. Can't do that at all.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
I'm going swimming all day today. I'm probably going to put something on the grill. I got it good. I've told you guys that from the get-go. I don't want to keep rubbing against everyone's face. Yeah, I'm out in California. It's hot today. It's going to be up to 90 degrees. So,
ooh, fuck that.
Yeah, but I got a pool, man. You got to get in there. You guys can come out. I have room for you. Get out of New York City.
I'm
come on out.
Hey, where's the John
the city's
Boy Jet?
Blast right now.
The John Boy Jet.
Yeah, we need to get that. Get on that. We like
we when share it, King, we share it with Drake.
When he mostly gets it. When I have to do laundry, that's like a big thing. It's like a yes, an excuse to go outside. Let's do this. It's like that's
you need
part.
You need like a you need one at your place. That's a tough one. The laundry.
That was Katie's must. Was she wanted laundry inside the apartment, and we ended up getting an apartment that doesn't have it. So,
can you do like a pick me up service? Because I'd be super down for that. I hate
that's
laundry.
What we do. That's what we do. We drop it off and then pick it up.
Okay, that's great.
It takes like 5 minutes, but that's our outside time. So if that answers your question, Tim, doing as well as I guess I can be excited about dropping off laundry.
You really opened up a can of worms with that. We don't talk about our feelings on this show because it's tough times in the city right now. What you've got a full quarantine, man. Like, what's the dynamic there? Do you guys have like a real world
family
show
dinners?
Forming?
You have family dinners, the four of you?
Yeah, we do have some dinners and game nights. But, you know, no vlogs yet. You know, we haven't ventured into YouTube area. I think that's ultimately the next step is to have a reality TV show. But not a lot goes down. We're all pretty quiet, play some video games. I know Stock is extremely in deep with the video game world. I am nowhere near it, but I have begun to play some video games this quarantine. For the longest time, I always thought Minecraft was like a kid's game. And I recently discovered that during quarantine, and I've been absolutely crushing Minecraft. So I don't know if you guys have heard of Minecraft or know what it is, but there's a mobile version for your phone, and I eat it up. I love
what
it.
Is there a way building? To win Minecraft? Yeah, how do you win Minecraft? I know what it is, but like, what do you do?
Well, I think it's one of those where it's like you can play to win or you can just play to play, kind of like Sims. I don't know if you played Sims.
Yeah. So what are you doing? Are you just building things? Are you just digging holes?
Yeah, whatever, you know, whatever you want. Kind of like having unlimited money to like build whatever structures you want. You know, you build like a pool, you build a mansion next to a creek, or like you build like dungeons or castles and stuff like that. But there's side quests, you know, there's ultimately an ender dragon that you have to defeat, and you have to get there by creating a portal to this other world, this other dimension. And I don't know if you ever heard of the Ender Dragon, but it's like the hardest part of the game. And it's extremely frustrating because when you die in the game, you get reset, all your levels get reset back to zero, and levels actually help you like develop potions and other stuff. So it's like hours are lost almost immediately.
You're in deep, Tim.
You're in deep, huh?
Yeah. It's emotional. Very emotional.
Hey, I was going to ask what your, like, yes, is Jake? There, is it like wake up? Is it wake up and you like put in your 2 hours and then you come back to it? Do you have like a time set out for that each day?
Is it strictly while shitting?
You know, you can put it, the game is there whenever you need it. You know,
great answer.
But I do have a girlfriend, so I understand the right. parameters. And she works. She's great. She's a nurse. She works in a local hospital here in Phoenix.
Wow.
And she works a few times a week, but she works like 12-hour shifts. So I'm just, you know, unfortunately, I'm bored for 12 hours. And
yeah,
you know, that's my time to shine with Minecraft for sure. Crushing.
What we do talk some baseball stuff. I think last I was tracking your spring training, did you hurt your rib or something? Are you healthy? What are you doing?
Yeah, so I hurt my rib last game of the last year, final game. I was pitching, had a lot of soreness, continued to pitch through it and play through it. You know, it's kind of the end of the year type of motivational, like go through it. I was pitching in San Francisco, got done with the game, and we had a few more days left of the season, but I was like done pitching. So my mind was like, well, kind of, if it's still bothering you, let someone know. And it didn't necessarily bother me that much. I felt like a muscle strain. And so went into the off season, had a great off season, worked out, didn't bother me. Started to throw in January, felt good. I got a few pins in, and then it started to bother me again. It was kind of the middle of my back. So when that happened, it felt like, all right, I gotta, you know, speak up about this. And I went to the team and we did a scan on it and turned out I had fractured my rib and it hadn't fully healed yet. Whether that's a combination of the workouts I was doing and then kind of, you know, I was like playing golf and stuff like that, like a normal off season, everything was normal. So that was a big blowback for me to get to spring training and, you know, have that diagnosis and have them tell me, it's like, can't necessarily do anything for this. Like you're going to have to sit around and rest and, you know, it's going to take some time to heal. So that happened, but, you know, fortunate enough, I was still in camp with the Rockies and I was able to, you know, be a part of the team day in, day out. You know, kind of awkward, not like throwing or, you know, doing anything baseball wise, but you know, chit chat with guys and, you know, seeing how, you know, that kind of viewpoint from a coach's perspective or just being a good teammate with everybody. You know, I love those guys and it's an awesome squad and a lot of fun to be around. So I had a great spring training with them. And it's just been a whirlwind because then the quarantine happened and, you know, I was on schedule to, you know, start throwing again and everything. But now it's like, you know, just continue to shut it down. And so right now it's healed. Everything's great. So I'm just looking to get back to baseball when it starts up again. So it's, you know, it's something that's, you know, a learning, you know, you learn about it and you just kind of heal from it and you just move forward with everything.
Would you say that you consider yourself someone who has benefited from Corona?
Yeah, in a sense, you could say that. okay. You know, I think about that, and like, if baseball was going on right now, I know I'd be more like, oh, man, I wish I was out there like crushing it with my team. I miss that aspect the most. I'm a big team player. I enjoy just going to the park every day, spend all day there if I wanted to. And just being around the guys and bring into this game, you realize that's the most important part is just being with a great team and a great set of guys. And, you know, ultimately that leads to winning. That's the end result for everybody. But, you know, that's kind of the most part I'm missing the most right now. So I think there's a sense of, yeah, the quarantine is benefiting to me. But at the end of the day, I think it just sucks not being around baseball, not even having it. You know, it's just it's tough.
Yeah.
You guys have a catcher? Like, I always wonder with pitchers, what you guys are doing right now. I have a few buddies that are pitchers, and I ask them the same question. Like, you got to have someone to throw to, but that's not always the case, especially in a time like this. Are you guys, like, getting down on and catching each other, or are you throwing into a net, or what's going on in the house?
Are we getting down for each other? Is that what you said?
get on the knees for each other, catching?
Yeah. Robert Stock. So this is his place. He built a mound in the backyard, complete dirt mound, everything you would need. He's got Rapsodo. He's got net. He's got a plate.
And he was a catcher, right?
Yeah, he was a catcher.
So does he get down? Does he do it?
He can get down and catch. But he also has a brother, Richard, who throws 95 miles an hour. And he catches and pitches, kind of half and half. So it's like, honestly, the most picture-perfect situation I could be in as a baseball player. And it's essentially a baseball house that I kind of live in right now.
Yeah, you're like in a baseball utopia. You just got like baseball buddies with you, six cats, the girlfriend's with you. Like you're doing well. You're crushing Minecraft every day. It's like, sounds nice.
It's not bad. It has worked out very nicely for me. So
for anyone
that feel like the third Stock brother, because I mean the dynamic again, I'm trying to get into your world a little bit here. I mean, are you feeling like you now gain two brothers?
Well, there's three Stock brothers and two Stock sisters, but the sisters don't live here. And one of the brothers is not living here right now.
Okay.
So I don't really think of it that way. I just,
dumb question.
That was a really dumb question, Joe.
I have four older half brothers myself. So I feel like there's actually less of the tension here. You know, it's a calmer house than I grew up in for sure. You know, I'm not getting duct taped on the regular. Oh no.
That's good.
It's my feet going out. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It looks great. I thought it was maybe one of the cats just hanging out in front.
I don't know if it was this start of our podcast or was the one we're going to have to delete, but you said that you went to lunch with Jake and it wasn't a date. So we came that you friend zoned Jake. How did that happen?
Well, Trev, what you don't know is Tim is the first and ever model for John Boy Media.
I've seen the shirt. Yes. I remember you sent me that picture.
Yes, donned the I Love Baseball shirt after like having an amazing game. So he's
how did you and Jake meet, and do you regret that ever happening?
Do I regret it? Well, I think it was just a normal day, you know, in the big leagues. you know, you just kind of wake up and, you know, you finish eating the room service or whatever from the night before, but I was still hungry and I wanted to go to the lunch. Like, and usually my first choice is like some barbecue place, local spot. And there's one in Denver called Owlbear. And some guy had been blowing me up in the DMs. Just like, hey, like, I'm this guy with this baseball thing. And I don't know, if you see my friend John Boy, he does all this stuff.
Like, oh, wow. Awesome. Like,
cool, man. What's up? He's like, I live in Denver. And if I could have lunch with you, that'd be a dream come true. I was like, fans come first. And I just wanted to go to lunch. And I said, hey, man, come on over. And we got to this place. It opens at like 11 or so. So I got there a little earlier and I'm kind of hanging out in line and, you know, not really paying attention. And like, you know, people are coming in and out of the restaurant. I'm sitting there waiting for this guy. And this kid like walks up to me and I'm like, oh, great. Like autographs, like, you know, it's what time is it right now? But he's like, hey, I'm Jake. And I was like, oh hey buddy, how's it going? And, we had a great lunch. It was awesome. And, I could really see where like the energy and, just the wholesome friendship, where you guys, he introduced that to me to your guys' kind of relationship a little bit, if that makes any sense. Like, you know, he's just open, friendly with me and we had a great lunch and, you know, it was a good time.
Barbecue. Right. Tim, I have a question for you. When you came up with the Rockies and you had that game and you dominated, and the big story was that you worked at a barbecue place the off season before, Little Miss Barbecue. Is that the name of it? Give them a little plug.
Yeah, that's correct.
All right. So then the public loves these stories. Oh, there you go. Public loves these stories of minor league guys that have to work second jobs because they like romanticizing the miserableness of minor leagues and that. So when Dobnik for the Twins goes to the Yankees, I'm going to connect this. Everyone chants Uber at him. And then the world said that was like so mean and that the Yankee fans were being so miserable.
Yeah, they are.
If opposing fans were to chant Little Miss Barbecue at you while you were on the mound, would you wear that as a badge of honor or would you think they were being mean?
100%. I wouldn't think that it was being mean. You know, someone didn't tell me that they felt like the funniest part of the whole story was it was being romanticized, that I was some like broke minor leaguer, barely making ends meet. You know, it was just ultimately like a side passion. I didn't intend for it to be any way like romanticized. but I have so much respect for like the industry jobs. I feel like it is a tough environment, and people don't stay there. Like, the idea is not to like stay there and have that job for a while, you know, a little bit, and with whatever you have going on the side, you kind of work your way up. So those were the type of people I met there. And, you know, there was a weird blend of it at this particular restaurant, because they are kind of considered one of the top barbecue restaurants in the country. So it wasn't like a hole in the wall spot. It was a spot I specifically picked out because of my passion with food. And I really wanted to be in an environment that is like wholly based on team advancement and just kind of the pursuit of perfection, and to also just provide for the community here in Phoenix. You know, I don't think I got to talk about it too much to the media, just really purely what it meant to me. But I learned like so many subsurface lessons there that I think, you know, the media is just going to take like, oh yeah, you just worked at Uber for an off season. But, you know, there's so much stuff you can learn about yourself when you're put into situations that are unknown, and you kind of challenge yourself a little bit. And there's definitely some funny times there, some uncertainty, and that definitely put me in my place. You know, considering my background, someone would be like, why did you even feel that way? Like, you've pitched in the big leagues in front of 40,000 people. Like, you've been a professional baseball for 10 plus years. Like, it's like, how can this make you nervous? And it was hilarious. And overall, a great experience.
What did you do there?
Yeah, were you doing everything?
Yeah.
Stoking the fire, or what were you doing?
Yeah, I told them day one I wanted to learn the ins and outs and everything. They had opened up a second restaurant, so if you want me to tell the story, I can.
Yeah.
That's why you're here. We want to hear about you, man.
So I follow this Instagram barbecue restaurant here in Phoenix. I've had them a few times. They're just absolutely unbelievable food. Brisket, pork ribs, pork shoulder. They were the metric for me whenever I ate anywhere else in the country. 2 years ago, they opened up a second restaurant, and they put out like an open interview process on Instagram. So I got really excited. I said, maybe I could do this. Like, it's September. I just got done with minor league ball. Like, I got nothing going on this off season. I'd rather hang out in a restaurant that's really cool than, you know, go golfing or hiking, which I've done previous off seasons forever, however many years. So I go to the second restaurant and I pull up and I can't do it. I have to turn around. I have to go home. I'm like sweating. I know I sweat a lot, but I was like sweating, nervous, and turned around and went home. And I had to like kind of pump myself up and like look at myself in the mirror. Like, what am I nervous about? Like, what is this thing that's like gripped me? But I went back the next day, faced my fears, walked in, had a great conversation with the owners, and, you know, kind of just said, hey, I don't necessarily have any food experience. I've worked at Ruby Tuesdays in high school, but that was like 10 years ago, and I was a salad boy. But last 10 years I've been playing professional baseball. Like, I didn't have like a resume, you know. Yeah. I'm just telling them this, like, I just felt like this prestigious restaurant would just like scoff at me and, you know, kick me out like the first day. So they were nice enough to let me on. And I mean, I was excited. Like, I'd never been so pumped for anything, because, you know, I'd just been doing baseball for like 10 years, and it's like this new exciting endeavor. And I realized quickly that it wasn't going to be as easy, as simple as I thought, because you really do have to start from square one. And I wanted to like work the pits. I wanted to like season the meat, and I wanted to make all the food. And also I wanted to like serve the customers and talk to everybody. But there's a learning curve, like there's a learning process, and it is like a whole new menu to learn. It's a whole new set of ingredients, how to cook stuff properly. I mean, they're a good restaurant for a reason. They're almost perfectionists. And I learned very quickly that it took a lot of hard work for them to get where they were. And it's going to take a lot of hard work for me to be able to live up to their standards. But excuse me. But it was a great time. I ended up working mainly cashier. I have a pretty good face. And I had decent pit skills at first, as far as the pit work in the pits, the smokers, decent skills, but it really takes someone with a very specific touch. You know, I don't think the term, I think the term now pit master is handed out pretty frequently, more frequently than it should. You know, a pit master is someone who can pick up the meat and know it's done instead of using a thermometer, in my opinion, can look at the color of the meat and know that it is time to wrap the meat. So there's all these things, the art of barbecue, that fall into making a pit master. I am nowhere qualified to be called a pit master, in my opinion, compared to some of the guys I've worked with. And that's just out of total respect for them and respect for the art of barbecue. But I learned so much there. I got out of my comfort zone. I was kind of an introverted guy. I think when you're in a position of baseball, you get a lot of things handed to you, especially at the highest levels. So in this environment, it was totally different. I had people yell at me, like customers just yell at me straight up and like blame me for things. And it kicks your ass. It puts you right in your place, which is what I wanted. I loved it. I was just like, yeah, give me more problems to solve and to, you know, work together for in some weird way. Cause I hadn't necessarily done that myself. Sometimes I think in baseball, you get complacent. And, you know, you're not pushing yourself as much as you wanted to. And I felt like this gave me an opportunity to learn how to push myself outside the game. And, you know, there's so many little stories of people just going off on me and just, I don't know, it's weird, but I enjoy my time there for sure.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. I mean, it's something to throw yourself into a world. Like, you're pretty engulfed in that, just to throw yourself into a whole new world. There's gotta be weird shit. Do you cook barbecue a lot now? Is this like, are you a barbecue snob? Do you make your own, or where are you? Do you just love all barbecue?
Yeah. So working at the restaurant has absolutely ruined my taste buds for any other barbecue.
Okay.
I have to compare it to that, and I know how it's made now. So I can tell what they've done to the barbecue to get the end product. And I can like be like, oh, they skip these steps and they make shitty barbecue. And sometimes I call them out. Sometimes I don't. I'm just like, oh, they tried. Like, it's a tough business. You got to make money. You got to cut corners. And the place I worked at, they did not allow that. They do not allow cutting of corners. So I respect it. But I cook a lot of food. I watch a lot of YouTube. And there's a lot of guys out there make a lot of good YouTube videos. And this quarantine has been like a dream come true as far as that aspect of my life, because I've made pizza. I just bought an ice cream machine that I'm going to start working on.
Nice. Wow. I Googled how to make ice cream the other day, and then I was like, stop it. Can't do that to myself. And it's a whole process.
Now I have the time. You can kind of dive into it. Yeah. It just tastes, you know, it tastes different. I don't know if it's the aspect of like doing it in your kitchen or you put the hard work and sweat into it. But little things taste different. I did like, I don't know if you guys have heard of it in New York. It's called Duchess Cookies. You ever had those?
I don't think so. I know like Duchess and that term. Duchess.
Yeah. Cookies, yeah. No, there's a place called Duchess Cookies in New York. It's phenomenal. They like to kind of stuff their cookies with random items. It's usually just like another cookie. So they'll do like a chocolate chip cookie.
That's what it looks
inside
like.
Of That's a crazy. Sugar cookie.
I like that.
So my days here in quarantine have consisted of like me waking up, like turning over to my girlfriend, and I'm like, all right, like, can we make like a donut cookie or like a brownie stuffed cookie or like, you know, this quarantine has been like great. And then I'll go research it and then it's like a little project and then I try to whip it up and make it. So we made like brownie stuffed chocolate. I made a lot of stuff. And if anybody's like worried about my weight, you know, I'm fine. Like, I'm good. It's like literally the only thing I eat during the day is like maybe one pizza. And then, you know, I work out every day, which is great, but you know, I'm just straight junk food right now. You know, it's awesome. So, can I ask a question?
Yeah,
please.
Do you guys have any like favorite, what's your favorite, quarantine snack food? If we can like start with Jake, and, like, has there been something that maybe came back from your childhood? For me, it was Lunchables.
Why do you think I'm a big snacker?
I know Jake's answer.
You're such a snack.
Jake,
now you're out of the friend zone all of a sudden.
It was
the
date.
I know your answer, Jake.
What do you have for me, Jim?
Oatmeal with milk.
Oh, yeah. That's not a snack. That's been a new breakfast thing I've been working in. Just because I didn't know enough about me. honestly, no. Like, I'm pathetic. I would say, honestly, like, the Halo ice cream finds its way into the fridge once a week. And that's just the little, I'm having a dessert and I'm half healthy, but I'm not at all.
That stuff sucks.
And that's,
it does.
Yeah.
Suck.
But you know, that's kind of how I live my life. If anyone else would like to answer,
I've been doing a lot of peanut butter crackers. I just I get really high and then I make peanut butter and jelly on a little Ritz cracker. And I sit there at the table and I make this whole, I slowly put all the Ritz crackers down, four. And then I slowly put peanut butter on all of them. And then I take the squeezable jelly and just go ploop, 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 and then I eat one at a time.
Did you say ploof?
Ploop, ploop. He's saying ploop. And my girlfriend walks by and she goes, "What the fuck are you doing?" I'm like, "Oh my God, I forgot you were here."
She looks at your garage. She's like, "Okay."
So that's my snack. And then I'm thinking every bit of this is there's a healthy version of it, but then they just added a ton of sugar. Like the jelly is just, the jam could probably be healthy, but, and then the Ritz crackers are just nothing but sugar. So that's what I've been doing.
Yeah, I've been doing pickles, anything pickled. So I don't eat dessert anymore since I stopped playing because I would just get super fat because I have no self-control. If it's in front of me, I'm going to eat it. So I decided one day, it's been almost a year now. I said, I love beer. I'm a beer guy. So I either have to get a beer or desserts. And that was the easiest decision in the world for me. Desserts have been gone. So I don't do anything sweet anymore. But pickled stuff, I'm all about. Pickled cauliflower, pickled carrots, pickled cucumbers, obviously. Just that's kind of been my snack lately, which is interesting. Ew. Yeah.
I don't have any experience, but I feel like you can almost break someone down psychologically with their snacks.
Okay.
If you don't mind me asking, Trevor, was there a point in your life where you felt safe and pickles were your thing?
No.
Do they remind
just
you
came out of the blue?
Do they remind you of Phil Hughes?
And I just have to find something different to snack on. I can't, just because I've given that up. So I just found something different to snack on, and it's easy, and they stay good in your fridge for a million years. So
I made a video on it, but that banana and peanut butter ice cream that I don't know, you probably didn't see it, but I just put that in a food processor, frozen bananas, peanuts, a splash of milk, and it's banana ice cream. That's my go-to little dessert at night.
That's a nice little healthy.
Yeah,
snack.
Yeah. It's basically it's a pliable base, a smoothie bowl base, but I just make it on my own.
That's awesome.
Hey, this is a cooking podcast now. I got to just get something off my chest because this really bothers me. I don't know why it bothers me so much, but you're a real deal barbecue guy, and I like that about you. When I imagine you getting on the barbecue, I imagine you with a real smoker, actually tending to the fire, whatever kind of coals you use, you're really doing it. What I can't stand is people that buy a Traeger grill. Nice grills, great. It's like training wheels, and they act like they're this barbecue pit master. Literally, all you do with the Traeger is set the temperature and go. You're not a barbecue pit master if you have a Traeger. Had to get that off my chest. Thank you. I might leave now. I don't know.
Is that a statement?
I'm sorry.
What happened?
I'm sorry. My friends all do it too.
I'm sorry you guys just lost your Traeger sponsorship.
Yeah.
No, great grill. Don't call yourself a pit master if you use a Traeger because
you're
literally
not the Traeger,
pressing
it's the
a
people.
Button.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, Traeger works. It does what it's supposed to do. I'm just saying, it's training wheels.
Yeah,
and that was probably.
And I'm out. Okay, see you guys later.
Yeah, you're okay.
If I can,
everyone just has a lot to get off their chest. Yeah, Tim, please.
Well, maybe you can, Trevor. You can kind of compare it to karate dojos. So I think I've never trained in karate dojo, but I've only heard stories. But it's Hey man, if you think your karate is better than mine, come challenge me. Come in my dojo and we'll see what happens. We'll see who comes out the victor. So I don't know. I'm more of a, everybody's got their own styles with their barbecue, and every barbecue is great in my opinion. But
that's not true. If you want to you have barbecues
down,
you hate.
If you want to throw down, come down to Phoenix and I'll show you some things. And
I don't want to. Okay. I'm just saying I have friends and follow people and they put cook shit on a Traeger and they act like they are a pitmaster.
Okay.
Know what you have to do.
I'm sorry, guys. I am just I'm in a weird mood today.
Yeah, you're look mad about me. This. And no, I think Tim fired revealed up. That you have some hidden secrets with your pickled stuff, and that's fine. What we have here is kind of a Game of Thrones situation when Tyrion has Bronn fight for them. Like whenever you see someone pissing you off in the barbecue world, you can be like, oh, I got a guy. If you want to do barbecue, go talk to Tim Melville. Because aren't doing is barbecue.
Hey Trev, do you have any opinions on the green egg?
Green egg is great because you have to light your coals. Like you actually have to have real coals there, not some wood pellets that you press a button and then mills it itself at the proper speed and keeps the temperature perfectly. Like you really have to put some work in. I like that aspect of barbecue. And now you got me going off again.
Okay,
we'll take a
quick break right here. A little behind the scenes. We have producer BBD in the bottom corner. And during quarantine times, BBD, he's here to take notes to give to our editors so they can chop up clips about what we've done so far. Hey, David, can you just give me a quick rundown of what your notes say on this baseball podcast so far?
Okay. Lunch date, six cats, quarantine in Phoenix, John Boy Laundry, Minecraft, rib injury, pitcher routine, worked at barbecue place, backstory, Duchess cookies, favorite quarantine snacks. Jake is such a snack. Ploof hates fake grillers. Grilling is like karate, and then green eggs.
Okay, perfect. So we've covered all our bases. All right.
That's awesome.
I think I'll try and ask one baseball question.
I do have a
question.
Few topics.
Okay.
Yes.
So you pitched a lot of places, Tim. I'm going to try and ask a baseball question. You've pitched a lot of places, right? You pitch for four different teams, I believe. You get to Colorado. Is there any, like when you get there and then you're called up, hey, this pitch might not work here. Or does the pitching coach have any like, hey, I know that looked really good in Arizona, but in Colorado, that slider or that whatever won't actually work. Is there any big change that like they try to hit you with when pitchers come to Colorado?
So fortunate enough for me this year, they had a lot of trust in me to literally just say, go do your thing. And that just, you know, re-upped the trust in myself and self-confidence that I had. I had been competing at Albuquerque. For people who don't know, the dimensions there at that ballpark are smaller than Coors Field. And someone argued that the environment there is the exact same as Coors Field, high altitude, dry climate and wind. And you know, factor in the new baseballs we had in AAA this year. Obviously, everybody crushed their home run records, you know, halfway through the season. All that stuff can be on your mind if you let it be on your mind. But day one, when I got there, I was really able to just focus in on my process and listen to my own voice versus listening to, you know, the voices around me, whether from my own team or other teams, or friends, you know, hey, I heard you're pitching at Albuquerque. Good luck with that ERA, buddy. So, you know, you constantly can, you know, listen to those inputs, on a daily basis if you want to. But for me, I felt like in Albuquerque, the months I was there, it really helped, hone that process, the routine of what information am I going to allow to come in right now and how am I going to make adjustments in game to allow, you know, the best results to happen. So there were some tricks that I found, throughout the year that could help. I'm not a pine tar guy. I could just flat out say, I just use rosin, sunscreen and sweat. And I feel comfortable with it competing like that. So it wasn't I needed an aid. It was always like, I could figure this out with what I have already. And, you know, whether that's changing my pitch location, uses of different pitches, you know, there's so many factors that you can look into, changing their swings. You know, teams will come into our park in Albuquerque and change their swings. And I noticed that in Colorado too. And, you know, teams coming in and literally just swinging for the fences as much as they can, like first pitch of the game, trying to hit a home run. And you take that into account and you change your approach then. So it's such a challenge. And I think anybody, you know, looks at it that way, they're going to have better results than looking at it as like an issue or a problem. Because the other team has to play there too. So it is an even playing field in my book. And the best one to win is the one that looks at it as a challenge and, you know, faces it head on with every resource they have. So,
yeah, sounds like a perfect attitude to go in. I think I'd be like, fuck, I can't throw my pitches. This sucks. Trade me.
Colorado's such a strange place too, because you show up there and you hear, I only played there a few times, but you just hear and you know that the ball flies there. But when you walk up to the batter's box, it's huge. Like you look out into like center field, left center and right, there's a huge wall. And you're like, this is a massive park. And then you take a few swings and you're like, oh. Like it's not that big, you know, but the ball just goes there. And I think what people don't take into consideration when they talk about Colorado is because it's so big, there's a lot of hits in front of the outfielders as well. It's not just home runs. It's like there's just hits everywhere.
We got Jake's dog in the mix now.
And I think Tim is out.
Oh, he bounced out.
He got sick of what I was saying about Colorado, which I get it. I'm just not a good podcaster today. We all have our days. You know, some days we're great. Some days we're not so hot.
Hey, the barbecue people and the foodies have loved this so far.
I think it's great. I'm a big Tim Melville fan now.
Is Tim back?
Is Tim back?
Oh, thanks, guys.
Tim, did we face each other in the IL in 2018?
What team are you on?
I was on Lehigh Valley. I was on Iron Pig.
I can find out if you faced each other
that year. I don't think I did.
This was in 2018. Maybe. You were playing for Norfolk, and I was a Lehigh Valley Iron Pig for a majority of the year. I was in the big leagues for a month or a month and a half. I don't remember. But the majority of the year I was there. I remember my first games with the Iron Pigs was in Norfolk. But I don't. I only think I played one game, and I don't know if you pitched
in,
or not.
In 2018?
2018, yeah.
And what team were you on, Trev?
I got moved.
I was a pig.
Great food there, by the way. Bacon on a stick. Oh,
awesome. At the pig stadium? Yeah.
So good.
Is BBD looking it up, or did he leave?
No, I'm looking it up. I mean, Tim made two starts versus the Iron Pigs. Let's see. Yeah, Plouffe, you DH'd.
DH'd.
And Plouffe, you had a hit in the game and a walk, but I don't have like the – wait, I can maybe find this out.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah, wow.
We're connected.
In the second, you grounded out, so he got you there. Tim pitched.
Nice pitch.
He pitched into the sixth inning. So let's see, Plouffe. Your second at bat, it was only a seven inning game. You singled to line drive to center fielder Joey Ricart. So one for two so far. You guys each got each other.
Okay. What day was this? Do you have the date?
Yeah, it was Tuesday, April 24th, 2018. You guys have faced each other.
That was the first very cold game. Yeah, it was like the first game I was there. I hadn't swung a bat. No offense here, Tim, but I hadn't swung a bat in almost a month because I went home, was quitting baseball, and then I decided to go play. So I flew into Norfolk, met the team, and then, yeah, I guess we faced each other. Very cool.
Yeah, small world. Speaking of swinging bats, Tim, you get called up for the Rockies. You pitch. You go seven innings, two hits or whatever. You had two RBIs. What were you more excited about, the great pitching line or that you got a two RBI single? or that you got to wear your I Love Baseball shirt in the post game?
It's a bad question.
think Tim dropped out again. Jake, do you want to answer as if you're Tim?
Yeah, I had a great game.
There he is. What were you more excited about, the two RBI single or the all the good innings pitching?
I gotta say the two RBI single. I knew it was gonna be a slider, and I just put a good barrel on it, got it right at the middle. Hadn't had a hit like that since high school. So
how'd you know it was gonna be a slider? Did something buzz?
Uh oh.
Yeah, my heart, my brain connected in the moment, and I dreamt about it my whole life, and you just know.
That's awesome. Cool.
Wait,
well, you're two for eight. That's not bad. That?
You think they're gonna really give me that day one?
Yeah.
The inside secret.
And they give it to the starting pitcher.
I mean, the Astros would have. They're clearly not all there.
Have you guys talked a lot about that stuff, by the way?
The Astros stuff? Good amount.
Just barely.
You guys see what happened?
Yeah. It's brutal.
It's very interesting. You know, I came across this podcast. It's Bregman Podcast or something like that. Looks really cool. I don't know if you guys checked it out yet. Yeah, this guy, great stuff. Like, joking aside, like, tons of money raised for Houston, and it's a big thing Bregman's doing now, and it's good. I think it's good for Houston baseball, everybody, to kind of move on and forget about it, because the sooner we can forget about it, then the better for, you know, Bregman to move along with his career, and you know, it's gonna be good.
Yeah, it's good. He started a podcast.
He's doing charity stuff. Day. I think
that's PR 101 right there.
I'm so
about all
I'm
the good deeds you're doing.
So interested to see how they are on the field, the Astros. If they're that, you know, swagged out.
They don't give a shit anymore, Jim. This whole thing has helped them immensely. They don't care at all.
Oh yeah, the Astros are pro Corona. They're all for it, just like Tim. They all benefited.
No, shouldn't say that.
I should not say that.
That we're going to edit that out. All
something
right.
The editors better not clip that, because that'd be rude of them. Jake, what's your last question? Is Jake muted? I think you're muted.
He's muted himself. Way to go.
What a mess of a show this is. It's been
hey,
fantastic.
What are you guys going to get your mothers for Mother's Day, if you don't mind me asking you? I'm curious.
Ooh, good reminder. Flowers and a card with a thought out note. That's the best way to go.
Ooh. Card's the best. Yeah. Got to have that handwritten. I'm going to have my kids write one as well. You got to do it.
Oh, nice.
Jake still makes necklaces out of pasta for his mom.
Okay. Nice necklaces. Find them on my Etsy, but yeah, it's flowers for me. My first, like, out of college, got a job, big flex, 32.5 a year, no big deal. I was like, you know what? I'm getting my mama a nice Mother's Day gift. And I got her like this nice like spa massage day package thing. She cursed me out. She cussed me out. She's like, "Don't spend your money on this shit." And I'm like, "Whoa, mom. This is a nice gift." So, yeah, we just keep it at flowers and we keep it moving.
Yeah, they just trade back the same flowers.
Okay. It's a good mom.
Mother's Day, his birthday. Mother's Day, his birthday.
It's a good mom.
Yeah, it's a good mom.
Big fan of my mom.
Big fan of your mom.
Oh, my
All right.
God.
Did we lose Tim again?
My roommate just walked in. He's like, "What are you doing?" Sorry.
Tell him you're just live streaming a session with
here.
The cats.
She's like, "You got a camera.
Just put out hot content." That's what we're doing.
I think we'll,
cat
put
porn.
A live feed of this.
You
I
did
make some money.
Live stream the cats, make a catstagram. Yeah. It's huge.
Oh my God.
Catstagram. Great. Hey, I got to make a side hustle, man. I unfortunately wasn't on the 40 man when all this went down. So I'm making minor league pay, and it's time to find alternate routes of revenue.
Sell one of the cats.
It is a possibility.
Yeah. Just make
sell one of the cats. Sell what the are cats. You talking about? You're the worst.
I mean, it's an option. It's just one option. That's all. It's loud.
Do you have any cats?
No, I'm highly allergic. Also petrified.
Yeah.
Petrified.
Yeah. Scared of cats. Big, one of my bigger fears.
Oh no.
They just could jump on my face at any time, and then it's over.
Cats are great. People so who evil. Don't have cats don't like it, but they're great once you have a cat.
Look at how sleepy he is.
Frodo.
He's a sleepy cat.
He's about to pass out.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's wrap this up. It's been wild. It's been great. Tim, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah.
One thank of the more guys. Eventful. Yeah. Jake, do you have your final wrap-up song you wrote?
It's good seeing that smiling face again.
Yeah, Jake likes to end all the interviews with a song.
Hey, this pink, is, Prince, man, yeah. Purple Rain, come on.
Yeah.
Purple Rain, Prince
can fucking shred. I don't know if you guys have watched any Prince videos. There's a Prince song called Bambi, and it might be my walkout next time.
Okay, that's huge. We can
highly
break
energetic
that.
Guitar intro. Oh my God, Bambi shreds. The lyrics, I think, are a little vulgar, but I mean, the guitar work is just
sounds
fantastic.
Like Prince.
Prince is like, no joke, up there with some of the top guitarists of all time.
So. There you go. So
sing some Purple Rain.
Sing Purple Rain and we'll.
RIP. Yeah, he actually just, his anniversary of his death was yesterday, I think, 2 days ago. So there you go.
That's why we've all been thinking about him. Jake, you sing Purple Rain.
I think more fitting for this, me and Jim have a close mutual friend who lives in Denver, who's my roommate for a period of time, Jeff, and we got invited to I was invited to a friend's bachelor party in Denver, and I was like, hey, can I bring my friend Jeff? And they're like, yeah, sure. And we got really drunk, and he sang the song Purple Rain. Well, he sang Purple Shame. And the crowd really loved it. Nobody knew what it was really about, but Purple Shame brought down the house. So, and I think it's perfect for this.
Okay. So you'll do your rendition as we
outro. No, I can't. I wouldn't do it justice, and I think we'll save it for another time. But this is as an eclectic as an episode as the Talking Baseball people will get.
Oh, it's a good time.
We're pushing boundaries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And we're feel like... Oh, I could keep talking.
Perfect.
You're good. Talking all day with you guys. You guys are great.
Oh man! All right, we'll do a little post game. Thank you, man. Stay with us. But I'm doing a fake ending for the show. Thank you, and we'll have you on again later.
Wait, this is fake?
Barbaric.
All right, that was Tim Melville. Everyone, go give him a follow. Reach out. Tell him to give constant pictures and videos of his six cats to you. He may be selling one. I'm not sure where we landed on that, but that was Timmy Melville, Lomas Barbecue.
Wild, couldn't believe some of the corners we ventured into in this world. And he's how about a little back end for me? So I meet up with him. I don't really know what I'm getting into. Like, I'm obviously not going to fanboy out. But also I'm not going to get barbecue lunch with this guy and be like, oh dude, that two seamer you threw the other night. Like, I don't know. I'm meeting the guy. And so we get barbecue and he, like, as you heard, my man's knows his barbecue. So he was like walking me through it. He showed me like some of the barbecue I got. He's like, oh, we wouldn't even serve that at the other place. And I was like, oh, nice. But no, and I think my other comment is whenever someone interviews us about the John Boy Media stuff, and you know, they're like, oh, so Houston must have been big, and we're like, yeah, Houston was big, the Boone Savages, blah blah blah. I'd say Tim Melville wearing the I Love Baseball shirt in his post game interview was one of our most like what moments, like
that's
the biggest
cool.
Out of left field, yeah. And yeah, the Tim Melville experience, as Trevor just saw, is a little out of left field.
It is. I'm happy to hear that was an organic thing that he just bought the shirt, because that makes it so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But definitely didn't. he's a fun guy. We found out that him and I actually faced each other in the International League in 2018, which is pretty cool. I do have to apologize for how I was this episode. I commented on people who use Traeger grills and I was very harsh to them. But you know, sometimes you just got to let it fly. And today I had to do that. So I had a good time with it.
Yeah.
And know what? If I was Traeger grills, I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to send those guys each a nice grill and sponsor their podcast to show them that we are Traeger.
Well, I will say this. I love them. Traeger grills are incredible. Like, they do the work for you. That was my point. Okay. Like, you're not a pit master.
They're too easy.
You can't buy a Roomba and then call yourself an expert housemaid.
That's a great comparison.
Perfect. All right. That's all I do here. And we're out. Thank you guys very much for listening.